Welcome, and thanks for tuning in to the Sunday morning message at Bayleaf Baptist Church. Bayleaf Baptist Church is under the leadership of Pastor Marty Jackman. Our Sunday morning services meet at 8:30, 9:45, and 11 o'clock a.m. Join us now as we dive into God's Word.
Thank you, choir musicians. That's a great song, a great word about what Christ did at Calvary. It covers it all, and I'm thankful for that. Take your Bibles and turn with me to Acts chapter 13. I want to say this, I'll just give a quick word about what took place in the preschool hall, and as a church, as a pastor of this church, I am deeply sorry if it has affected you, any inconvenience you've had. We had some damage due to a gutter. The gutter overflowed. We had water kind of seep through the wall, and it's caused a moisture issue. We did find some traces of mildew and some mold, not the worst of the mold, and it was just a trace, but just for the safety of our workers, the safety of our kids, we felt like after talking with the company, it was best to just remediate that, work in there, and it should be back open and better than ever next week. So again, sorry for any inconvenience. Had somebody ask me yesterday, well, did we have the fans running? Well, with that being a basement, as the fans run down there, it draws in air from the outside. So when it's 90 plus degrees and it's humid and you bring outside air in, it doesn't really affect the humidity issue in the building. So just again, thank you for your patience with that, and we'll be back up and going next week. Today I want to bring you a message in our series, and I'm going to summarize pretty much verses 13 to 41, and then we're primarily going to focus on verses 42 to 52 today. And the message I want to bring you, a message I've entitled, Go and Tell. It's in our series, but here's what it comes there. It says, His story, not just history. His story and not just history. Now, I love history. I'm a history fan. History was always my favorite subject. I did terrible in math. I was not a math guy. Math made no sense after they put letters in it. I never learned how you add A and B. It never made sense after that. But I've always loved history. As much as I was part of sports, if you come into my house today, you are much more likely to find the channel on something historical than sports related. I love history. And I remember something happened in 2001. I was in the first year of pursuing a PhD in church history, primarily focusing in Baptist history. And I was traveling back from lunch one day with our pastor, then Pastor Ron Rowe, and I was telling him about the seminar that I was in, and the seminar was looking at really 18th century, the 1700s, and religion in what was the colonies. And we were studying the minutes of the Philadelphia Baptist Association. Now, you may be thinking about just there in the city of Philadelphia. Well, the Philadelphia Baptist Association came all the way down into Virginia and as far north as New York. So you had a huge region in which the gospel, and they were talking about going out to the Wild West and doing church work like places like Pittsburgh, out in the Wild West at that time, to take the gospel out. And I remember saying something to Ron. I said, preacher, I was born 200 years too late. Anybody ever said something like that? You felt like you were born too late? I said, preacher, I feel like I was born 200 years too late. I was getting so excited about telling him. And you ever had somebody rebuke you and it took about 10 seconds because the way they said it, you didn't realize it was a rebuke? And I remember telling him that, and he just said these words to me, Marty, you're probably right. You're probably born 200 years too late. You probably know better than God. Well, maybe it didn't take 10 seconds, okay? He said, Marty, that's great, but God has us here today. God has you here today. And the same God that was working 200 years ago is working today. See, that's the difference between his story and just history. History deals with the past. His story deals with the past, but also what God is doing in the present and leading us to what God will do in the future. And that's why I want us to make sure as we think about history that we also see what God is doing here today, because there are some people, some churches, even denominations, that get so caught up in their history, they don't realize what God is doing in their present and what God desires to do in their lives. There are people that get caught up and they get so self-determined by their history, both good and bad. Most of the time it's a bad history, and I'll hear people say, you know, Pastor, you don't know what I've done in the past. I don't think God can forgive me. Pastor, you don't know what's happened here. And you're letting something that happened in the past that God's dealt with at Calvary control where you are in your present life. When our text today, Paul's going to remind, and you really see as we kind of launch into, we said this 2 weeks ago, we're launching into Paul's first missionary journey. And now don't get confused here, because we said Paul launched out of Antioch with Barnabas. Now he's back, he's in Antioch today, but it's a different Antioch, okay? This is beside Antioch. This would be modern day Turkey. So he's left the coastline of Antioch, he's gone under around Cyprus, and now he is in land modern day Turkey, and they are there preaching the gospel. And he's gonna remind the Jewish people that are gathered there in the synagogue, he's gonna remind them of the amazing history that they have. The history that talks about the promises of how God has led them, the promises he's made that we have in prophecy, and how God led them to the Messiah coming, and how they are his people. But then we're gonna see them reject that gospel. He's gonna remind them of the beautiful history they have, but because it's his story, that God is continuing to work in and through them, and that should be their desire. Today, I'm gonna kind of summarize really 2 points in the message. And in the first point, I'm gonna kind of summarize those first, that 13 to 41. And the first point of the message, and I'll read the text that we're gonna focus on in the second point of the message, but the first point is this: we should be thankful for a wonderful history. We should be thankful for what God has done in our past, at what God has done in our lives, what God has done in our family. We should be thankful for a wonderful past. And that's where he's going to bring them. And again, in summary, he's going to take them through many events of probably 5,000 years of history. And it begins with Abraham. And Paul really doesn't teach this in a chronological order, but that's how I'm going to do it. Look, if you would, in verse 26. This is Acts chapter 13. He brings in the fact that they are sons of Abraham. Men and brethren, sons of the family of Abraham. He's reminding them of the Abrahamic covenant, where God looked at an old man and God said, out of you is going to become a great nation. They're going to be my people. Then he leads them into the promise that was given to the children of Israel through Moses. And it talks about, in verse 17, how God led them out of their captivity in Egypt. Remember, many of them traveled to Egypt under the time of Joseph, when he was worked there with the Pharaoh. And they were not slaves, but the Bible says there arose a Pharaoh who knew not Joseph, and they became slaves in Egypt, but yet God was with them, and God heard their cries, and God rose up Moses to lead them out of Egypt into the wilderness. And eventually, although Moses did not get to go, there were those who entered into the promised land. Then he brings in the prophets that God gave, the judges that God gave. Then he brings in the United Kingdom. And while he doesn't mention Solomon, he does begin by mentioning Saul. Look, if you would, in verse 21. It said, "And afterward they asked for a king, so God gave them Saul, the king of Kish, the son of Kish, and a man of the tribe of Benjamin for 40 years. Now here in this history that Paul goes through, and I really hope you'll take time to study this entire passage, he doesn't really deal with a lot of the negative things that happened, their lack of faith. He's just reminding them of God's provision through all of this. And then it gets to King David, the one that they would have celebrated the most, and we see that in verse 22. "And when he had removed Saul, he raised up for them David, a king to whom he gave a great testimony and said, 'I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart who will do my will.'" And I could just see the Jewish people, their excitement, because they really longed for a king like David. That's why many of them rejected Jesus, is because they didn't want a suffering Messiah. They wanted a king that would rule and push Rome out, and they could once again rule themselves. And he reminds them of how David, how he followed the will of God. And then you jump forward 400 plus years, and he's going to bring in what some will call the last of the Old Testament prophets, yet we read about him in the New Testament. That is John the Baptist. It says in verse 24, "And after John had preached before the coming of Jesus," it reminds him how John was used of God and how he said, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world." And all of this history, thousands of years, is culminating in what Paul is going to remind them of: King Jesus, of Jesus the Messiah. Verse 26, "Men and brethren, sons of the family of Abraham, and those among you who fear God, to you the word of this salvation has been sent." Then he's going to walk through the life, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus, reminding that Messiah has come, and this is the message that we have for you. And Paul is saying this, saying we can be thankful for this history of God's provision in our nation and in our lives. You know, as a denomination, we're Southern Baptists as a church. We can be very thankful for a history, not a perfect history, not a history without its faults, but when you look at the beginning, it was a denomination built upon the Word of God and wanting to take the Word of God out to the nations. There was a time when it began to fall away, it began to turn its back on the Bible, but yet God used men and women to raise up and show us that and really lead us back into a time where we would put the prominence on the Word of God. As a church, we were reminded at homecoming last week, 139 years as a church body, as a church family. No, I was not the pastor when it was started, if you're a guest today, but 139 years of God using this body to take the gospel out. And really, from the first minutes that were taken, they had a desire for the gospel to go out, and they gave so that missionaries could go and share the word of God. And then even in our own lives, the people who poured into your life, who taught you the word of God? Was it a mom, dad, a grandparent? Was it a Sunday school teacher? Was it a pastor? Who was it that poured the word of God and taught you what it meant to be a Christ follower? You know, Paul would say to Timothy, his son, he reminded him about a godly heritage in his grandmother and his mother, in Lois and Eunice. And he said, "Be thankful that they taught you the word of God." See, we can be thankful, and you should be thankful for a wonderful history in your life, in our church, in our denomination, about what God has done, but. How you like that for a transition? We're going to be thankful for a tremendous history. But if we lose our eyes on his story, then history's all it is. And what we need to make sure is that we are focusing on his story. Here's the second part of the message. A wonderful history does not ensure a Christ-centered present. A wonderful history does not ensure in our lives, in our church, and in our denomination, it does not ensure a Christ-centered present. Now I'm going to read beginning in verse 42. You'll find your place there, 42 of Acts chapter 13. So when the Jews went out of the synagogue, because that's where Paul has been preaching. Again, he's in here at Poseidon Antioch, and he goes to the synagogue and he preaches. And boy, we see excitement after he preaches. That, so when the Jews went out of the synagogue, the Gentiles begged for these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. Now, when the congregation had broken up, many of the Jews and devout proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. What a testimony. They received the preaching of the word, the gospel, how he led them through history and brought them to the Messiah, and they were excited. They were excited that the Messiah had come. And it was the Messiah God had used through the Jewish people. There was, and they even say, hey, continue on in the grace of God. But then something happens. Look at verse 44. On the next Sabbath, almost the whole city came together to hear the word of God. Hallelujah. Isn't that what you pray for? Don't you pray for a movement of God? Don't you pray that revival awakening would take place? Don't you just long for that? Well, that's what they see. I joked with somebody, it must have been one of the deacons, because it said deacon wrote that almost the whole city, if a pastor would have written it, he said all the whole city came out, everybody. But it says almost the whole city came out to hear the gospel. Look at verse 45. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy, and contradicting and blaspheming, they opposed the things spoken by Paul. I challenge fellow pastors all the time. We often pray for revival, but what if God sends it to the church down the street? Will we celebrate that, or will we cast stones? It says they were filled with envy, and they began to contradict and blaspheme the things spoken by Paul. Verse 46, then Paul and Barnabas grew bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God be spoken to you first. But since you rejected and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, behold, we turn to the Gentiles, for the Lord has commanded us, I have sent you as a light to the Gentiles, that they should be for salvation to the ends of, that you should be for their salvation to the ends of the earth. Now when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as had been appointed to eternal life, they believed. And the word of the Lord was being spread throughout all the region. But the Jews stirred up the devout and prominent women, and the chief men of the city raised up persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them from their region. But they shook off the dust from their feet against them and came to Iconium. And the disciples were filled with joy with the Holy Spirit. So what took place? It says they were filled with envy or jealousy. See, Paul reminded them of their history. But with their history, they refused to see that his story was continuing. It's as if they were saying, well, wait a minute, this is our God. This is our God, and he's for us. And we want to keep him in a box, and we don't want this message to spread. But if it's his story, he said, my story will go forth, and it will go to the Jewish people and to the Gentiles. It will go to the uttermost parts of the world. But when they heard that, they rejected. Many of them rejected the gospel message. They were so interested in the history of their God, but they didn't want to hear about the God of their history and how he was continuing to work in our lives. What can happen? It can happen in denominations. It can happen in churches. I saw a video this week. I sent it to Andy and to Will just because I said, you know, you guys can really appreciate this. And it was about a church in our denomination. And I remember going there, Lori, you were with me, went there in 1998. And it was that church, as a seminary student, you would say, man, this is what it's supposed to look like. This is what it's supposed to be. This is amazing. And they recently shot a video of a church in total disrepair. A church that has dropped so fast. The buildings are falling apart. They now have entire buildings that are closed off and just locked up. It's a church that was so consumed on celebrating the past, they forgot to see what God was doing in the present. It can happen in our lives, especially if you grew up like me in a church culture. I mean, you know, and I grew up, everybody went to church. That's just what you did. But the danger of that, there's so many blessings with that. The danger of that is we grow up in a church culture and we celebrate the faith of our forefathers. We celebrate the faith of our parents and our grandparents. And we learn how to speak the church language, but we never repent of our sins and turn to Jesus Christ and experience salvation through Christ. We know how to speak Christianese, but we've never surrendered our life to Jesus. Folks, if it's history, if that's all it is, it's history, it will not last. But if it's his story, and we see God continue to work, and we see God work in our lives, and it causes us to repent and to believe, then that is not just history, that is his story continuing to move. We must not miss God working in our present day. And just as I was rebuked and told, God has you here now, I would say to all of us, God has us here now. God has us here now to proclaim, to go and tell, to share the wonderful things that have been done in the past, but that God is continuing to work in the present and God continues to move in our lives. And just as we celebrate great things of the past, we can celebrate, whether it be salvations or movements of God, we can celebrate those things that will come in the future. You know, I love Luke chapter 15. I shared this with some of the staff. You know, I think about that as we see Paul and Barnabas, they're expelled from the region. It says they wipe the dust off their feet, they move on, and it's amazing with all the turmoil. You would think that all the turmoil, the accusations against them, the fact that they were kicked out, you would think, boy, I bet it just sucked all the joy right out of their lives. But it's amazing, verse 52 says, and the disciples were filled with joy with the Holy Spirit. And I remember thinking, okay, why? Even in the midst of turmoil, why was there joy? Because they knew they were doing what God had called them to do. They were doing what God had done. God came, and through his history, God brought the Messiah. And now as part of that history, they were to take the message of the Messiah and take it into the world. And they knew they were being faithful to God's purpose in their lives. And when I read about that joy, it reminded me of Luke chapter 15. And you can go study that later. It's one of my favorite passages in all Scripture, and it's really three parables. It begins with a parable of a lost sheep. Now the shepherd had 99, but had lost one. It said he searched until he found the one. He didn't just write him off and say, "Well, we'll use him as a tax deduction, okay? We can write him off." No, it said he searched till he found it. It talked about a woman who had lost a coin, and she searched until she found it. And then, of course, I think the greatest of the parables, the prodigal son. The first sermon I ever preached was the prodigal son. I think it reminded me somewhat of myself turning and walking away from the church. You know, probably the first 10 times I ever got asked to preach somewhere, I preached the parable of the prodigal son. And finally, after like 10 times, we're driving back, and Lori looked at me and said, "Honey, I've got that one, okay? Can we move on to a different text, okay? We've got this one." But it talks about a son returning home to the father. And here's what, whether it was a lost sheep, a lost coin, or a lost son, when they were found, in all three cases, it says there was great rejoicing. There was great joy. There was great rejoicing. You know, I'm gonna tell you something that Warren Snyder shared with me after the first service. I told him I was gonna use it. He came to me. Y'all know Warren was just in the choir. He said, "Pastor, this past week I lost my glasses. I couldn't find them, and these glasses are expensive." And he said, "But my wife and I, we searched and searched and searched till we found it. And I was so thankful I found my glasses because it was worth a lot of money." And then he looked and he said, "Why won't we treat souls the same way? Is a soul not worth more than a pair of glasses? Then why don't we go out and share and share and share? Why don't we go out and take the good news to our one?" We're talking about who's your one. And Lyle asked me for a clarification. He said, "Pastor, I've got more than one I'm sharing with. Is that okay?" I said, "No, you got to cut it back to one. That's all you can add." No, that's not what it means. No, if you've got five, great. If you've got 105, great. The problem is many of us don't have one. Let me ask you, who's a lost person you could go share with? There are many people, they've been saved so long, they don't know lost people. Who's somebody that we could go and share with? And is their soul not worth us taking the gospel and sharing it with them? See, when we see that and we see people embracing Jesus, that will bring about a great joy. Why were they happy? Because they had fulfilled what God had told them to do, to preach unto the Gentiles, and there were those, it said, they received the word with gladness, they repented and believed. They gave their life to Christ. And see, if we see that, then years down the road, if the Lord tarries, there will be a generation that looks back at us, and they will see a history here that continued on of taking the gospel into the nations, to all around the world. And the message that we will have is, hey, it may be history to you now, but then it wasn't history. It was His story going forth. And I pray we see that, and I pray we long for that, and I pray we never, never stop sharing His story. Paul said, "You've got a great history, but God's still at work." I say to us, we have a great history, but God is still at work. And God wants to use you to tell His story. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You. Whether it's a history in our church, in our denomination, in our life, Lord, we are thankful for those who have been faithful, but Lord, You have us here. Lord, Your word talks about in the fullness of time. Well, in the fullness of our time, we, We are here. And Lord, we pray that we would not be so consumed with history that we lose the fact of what you're doing today. Lord, I pray that you will burden us to go and tell your story. Father, we love you in Christ's name. Amen.
Thank you for listening. We hope your heart was blessed and encouraged by today's message. For more information on the ministries at Bayleaf Baptist Church, visit us on the web at www.bayleaf.org or give us a call, 919-847-4477. Thanks again and have a blessed day.